Daniel again this morning in chapter number 6 in your Bibles, please. Daniel and chapter number 6 this morning in the Word of God. And when you find that place, let's stand together for the reading of the text, please. I want to begin reading this morning in verse number 16. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, their children and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the pit. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. And I ask you to pray for Brother Hall this morning, if you know how to pray. And I'm kind of like Benny was up at Brother Smith's. I feel weeble and feek. Amen. But we're going to do our best to preach what God's laid on my heart this morning. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we bow again in Your presence this day, I'm thankful again, Lord, that I've been to Calvary and been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I want to thank You this morning for the Word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. I thank You, Lord, for its great and glorious promises. I thank You, Lord, for the blessing that we have in keeping the law of this book. I want to thank You for the Lord Jesus, for the life that You gave. Thank You for the Spirit that indwells us. Thank You for the privilege of being in the house of God this day. I pray, O God, for divine help. I pray for God's Spirit to breathe in this place. And then, Lord, breathe upon this Thy servant the power of Almighty God. And grant me, Lord, some liberty this morning. I do pray for wisdom. I pray for power and unction. I pray for the Lord for the transformation of the lost into the kingdom of Christ. I pray for revival in the people of God. Help us now. Bless every heart. Meet every need. And we'll thank You and we'll praise You for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Now this morning we're going to close our study in chapter number 6 of the book of Daniel. And in doing so, we'll close out the historical events in the life of Daniel. Although there were some prophetic statements and prophetic happenings in the first 6 chapters, basically the last chapters, beginning with chapter 7, looks at Daniel in his prophecies that he prophesied concerning the last days and the end time. And the first 6 chapters deal with historical events. You know, there have been some ignoramuses that have tried to discredit the book of Daniel from Bia and said that it had no place in authority in the canon of Scripture. But I want to say that those men only showed their ignorance in doing that. For the Lord Himself even spoke of the prophet Daniel. And I'm glad that the record that we have in this Bible is more accurate than those that we'll find in the secular history books of the world. But I'm not preaching on the history of Daniel this morning. If God will help me, just a little old feeble message that I want to try to preach this morning for a while on the thought of a tale of three kings. I find three kings in this passage of Scripture, and I want to try to deal very briefly, and it'll have to be very briefly, with each one of those kings in our service today. Now, if you remember, in the early verses of this chapter, there's been a plot against the prophet Daniel. And we oughtn't to think that that's an amazing thing. I learned a long time ago that the world and the worldlings will do their best to discredit and tear down the character of any man of God. And I'm not saying just a man of God who stands behind the pulpit and pastors a church. But if you're a Christian today and you're trying to live for God and trying to be holy in your life, you might as well mark it down that somebody out there will try to discredit you and find reason, my friend, or find something against you that they might tear down your character and damage your reputation. And by the way, that is the devil's work. If he can accomplish that, he will hinder our witness to a lost and a dying world. Nobody wants to hear from someone that's a rascal. I tell you, people want the truth, and if the devil can discredit the truth that falls from the lips of the people of God, he will accomplish a great thing in that community that God's people may be working in. But we find that plot against the prophet Daniel. Those who ruled under him in the kingdom have sought to find an occasion against him that they might put him to death. And you know, that is an amazing thing. The Bible said that Daniel was preferred before all those other kings and those princes. And the king, Darius, sought to set him over the whole realm. I really believe that the biggest problem those men had was a problem with jealousy and with envy. And that jealousy and that envy brought about strife. I want to say, my friend, it'll work every time that way. When those two get together, jealousy and envy will bring about strife, even in the house of God. If we get jealous about somebody that sings, or if there's jealousy over a Sunday school teacher, if there's a jealousy over this or over that, I'm telling you, my friend, that it will bring forth strife in the house of God. Somebody said, "Preacher, how can that come to an end?" I'm going to tell you how. The Bible said, "Cast out the scorner and the strife will cease." And brother, there's only one way to deal with strife, and that's to put a boot in somebody's butt and put them out the front or the back door on the street, head them down in some direction, that there might be peace and tranquility and blessed joy and happiness in the house of God again. Now, I've just about made up my mind. If some of you in here don't start smiling at me, amen to God. If some of you in here don't start smiling at the Sunday school teacher, I'm just about ready to do a little personal preaching. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, you ain't got the brass. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God," or "Brother Hall either. I've been preaching long enough, friend, that I can tell you I can, if I have to, do a little bit of personal preaching." I'm telling you that there is envy in the house of God, and there's strife in the house of God, and there's jealousy in the house of God, and that jealousy and that envy has brought about strife, and it's brought about a division, and consequently the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost of God has taken his flight from Island Ford Baptist Church. And I don't know about most of you, but I cannot live this way. I cannot worship this way. I cannot preach this way. I cannot serve God this way. Amen to God. Somewhere down the line, it'll have to be dealt with. Amen. That's right. So we need to be a praise in our God. Hallelujah to God. Things is better than they've been in most of our lifetime. People talking about how bad the economy is. Ain't too many people felt it too bad. Around here, some of you's had to struggle with it, but you still got food on your table. And I guarantee you, if you'd have stayed right with God, you'd have made progress in your spiritual life. Well, in the meanwhile, while this was taking place in your life as well. Amen. Oh, envy and jealousy. Now, they did this by convincing King Darius to sign a decree that no petition or prayer should be made to any man or God except to him. And they already said, we'll not find an occasion against Daniel except we find it against him and his God. I'm going to tell you what that tells me. That tells me they must have been spying on Daniel. They said, we're going to get the king to sign a decree that if any man prays except to him, he'll be put into that den of lions. I realize Daniel had that window open toward Jerusalem, but I'm here to tell you, my friend, that also tells me there was a crowd out there that was spying on the man of God, trying to find an occasion against him. I'm going to tell you what Brother Paul called that crowd. He said they're busybodies that stick their nose into somebody else's business. I've never seen a society, my friend, that thinks they're Philadelphia lawyers in Baptist churches that have constantly got to try to be sticking their nose in somebody else's business. May I say that you and I both have enough problems in our own family. We have enough problems in our own life that we ought to keep our nose in our own business and out of somebody else's. And I guarantee you, my friend, if we had looked for our problems rather than look into somebody else's and find out our own heart, we could have revival in the house of God. Amen. I remember some time ago I had a piece of personal mail laying on my desk. And I found one of our employees with their nose in my personal mail. Now I'm here to tell you, friend, people like that cannot be trusted. The man that'll open somebody else's mail or stick his nose in a piece of open mail and look at it cannot be trusted. He's a busybody. He's got to know everything that's going on. Amen to God. I'm telling you, there's some things that some people don't need to know that's going on. There's some things in your life that I don't want to know anything about. As sure as I did and preached against it, you would accuse me, my friend, of spying on you. Oh, yes. But I don't want to know everything in your life. And I don't want you to know everything in my life either. Especially when it comes to some personal matters. Spies, busybodies. Sticking their noses in somebody else's business where it didn't belong. Now, old Daniel was faithful. He was faithful both to the Lord and to King Darius. And in verse number 10, Daniel continues to pray and seek the Lord as he had always done in the past. Now, I want to say this is not in no wise rebellion toward the king and his commandment. Daniel was simply practicing old-time religion just like he had practiced all his life. He wasn't about to let the commandment of the king divide him and his God or hinder him from serving his God. Now I'm telling you, my friend, I made up my mind a long time ago. I'm going on with God practicing old-time religion the way I always have. There have been crowds that tried to stop my preaching and my tongue still moves from the heart with words of grace from Almighty God. They tried to stop my prayer, but I'm glad that I've got a throne room that I can go to. And some of you sitting here have tried to stop my praising, but put this in your corncob pipe and smoke it. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Saved by the grace of Almighty God. I come into this thing praising God and preaching His Word, and I'm going out of preaching and a praying and a praising the great God of heaven for saving a miserable wretch like me. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what do you think's wrong with somebody that can't get a hold of God and praise Him a little bit? One, two things. Three things. Cold-hearted, backslidden, or lost. Take your choice. I'd say amen to that in some cases. That's right. Hallelujah. I'm not going to stop praising Him. Psalm 1 said, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Psalm 150 said, praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you, if a man's been blessed, you ought to be praising Him. Amen. We come into our salvation blessed. And we ought to depart from it into heaven praising God. Yet, sir, from the spiritual cradle to the spiritual grave, we ought to be praising our God for His blessings upon us in the land of the living. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. I got to thinking in here yesterday and got to praying last night, thinking about the mess the world's in. Thinking about that young 17-year-old boy facing the death penalty for all those words. I got to thinking, Lord, that could have been me. That could have been my family. That could have been one of my grandchildren. But here I am in the house of God, preaching the gospel and enjoying the blessings of the Lord. Somebody said, now, preacher, why? I don't know why God chose to give me birth in Underwood, Indiana, population 250. Salute. Amen to God. Amen. But I'm glad, thank God, I was born in a little community like that. And thank God that I live in Madisonville and not in one of those big cities, my friend, where the thieves and the thugs are and the dope peddlers on every corner. That's bad enough in Madisonville. But we ought to be praising God and thanking God that He let us live in a little community like this to shelter our families. That's right. You ought to thank God for Robards, Brother Woodard. And you ought to thank God for Millport. Amen to God. And you ought to thank God for Drakesboro. And you ought to thank God for the countryside and the road where we're living. Everything that has breath, we ought to be praising God today. Amen. Hallelujah. Old Daniel was just a practicing what he had always done. And I remember a big word Dr. Sattler used to say. I refuse to capitulate. Amen. I have no intention of throwing in the towel. Amen. I refuse to capitulate. Amen. I will not give in, give out, give up, let down, quit, Amen. Stop, or mully grub around about it. Amen. Why should I worry? My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. I've got breath in my lungs. I've got a God that sits on a throne. I've got a Holy Ghost that lives in my bosom. I've got a copy of the infallible Word of God. I've got a church house to come and visit. I've got a wife and a home and a family and children and grandchildren. Thank be unto God. He has blessed me every day with benefits from glory. I want to thank Him for it. Oh, my kids are healthy. They ain't got a one that's unhealthy. They're all of a sound mind. Amen. I doubt about some of the adults in here, but I think all the children got pretty sound minds. Say amen right there. Amen. Hallelujah. Something wrong with some of you. Maybe crippled too high for crutches, friend. Come on in the house. I won't charge you a thing for that. Amen. Daniel's faithfulness finds him in a den of lions. Said in verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into a den of lions. And not a lion's den, a den of lions. Amen. Young boys and girls, ain't no such story as Daniel in the lion's den. Amen. The lion's den could be empty, but this den had lions in it. Amen. That's why it says a den of lions, and the fact the plural is used means there's more down there than one. Amen. Amen to God. I don't know how many was there, but there's more lions there than one. But I want to say this, that standing somewhere in the shadows, you may not ever thought, I'm about ready to go crazier than a lunatic. Standing somewhere in the shadows, buddy, there was a lion that could not be seen with the naked eye. I'm glad, thank God, that there's another lion, another than that roaring lion that walks about seeking whom he may devour. For old brother John said in Revelation 5:5, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. I'm glad, thank God, that while Daniel was in the midst of those lions, standing yonder in the shadows, there was the lion of the tribe of Judah, and the lion of the tribe of Judah had come to shut the mouth of those other lions, and praise his wonderful name, he prevailed in doing so. I'm going to tell you what, he'll prevail in doing so for you and I too, buddy. Amen. That roaring lion walks about seeking whom he may devour. But I'm glad that there's another lion that's king of the nation, king of the jungle, hallelujah to God, that is able to shut the lions of the mouth of those other lions. He prevailed, friend. There's little old Daniel done been cast down into that den of lions. The Bible said that the old king went home and fasted all night long, refused music, couldn't sleep. The next morning he run to the mouth of that lion, that den of lions, and said, O Daniel, is thy God to whom thou servest continue able to deliver thee? And Daniel said, unto him, O king, live forever. He said, my God! I want you to get a hold of this. Over in verse number 16, old Darius said, thy God whom thou servest continually is able to deliver thee. But Daniel in this verse said, my God! Glory to God, I'm glad. Thanks be unto God this morning. He's not only Daniel's God, he's my God as well. I'm talking about the Prince of Glory. I'm talking about the Prince of Peace. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is my God, and the same God that closed the mouth of the lion will also close the devil's mouth in your life if you will let him. Amen. He prevailed. And he shall always prevail. That old king said, Daniel, I said, bring him and get him up out of that pit. And they came and lifted Daniel up out of the pit, and no harm was done to him. And the Bible said, because he believed his God. I want to say to you, hey, that is the only way you get through this life, friend, without hurt from the lion, is to make sure you believe in your God. Now, I'm not talking about just going back to Calvary now and believing in being saved. I'm talking about a personal relationship, day by day, believing God to deliver you from the den of lions and from the mouth of the lions. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yes, and even deliver you from those that would wrongly accuse you and persecute you and cause you the heartache that they caused old Daniel. Daniel said, no, I've done you no harm. And said, because God sent an angel and stopped the mouth of the lion, shut him up. Because innocency was found in me. He said, I've done you no harm either, O king. And that king brought all those other presidents and their princes, their children, and their wives, and cast them into that den of lions. Somebody said, what are you saying there, preacher? I'm saying, you better be careful, friend, how you treat the man of God. And I'm not a whole lot of a man of God, but I'm here to tell you today that I didn't ride in on a load of pumpkin, son. I've had a holy call separated, my friend, to preach the gospel of the Lord. I'm here to tell you that your craftiness and your ungodliness may very well come down on the very pate of those little youngins sitting beside you that you love and cherish, my friend, because when those men suffered, so did their wives and their children, with the same judgment and the same punishment as the men did. Now I see here in our story, and I'll be very quick now, about done already. I see three kings, a tale of three kings. I see, first of all, there was a king named Darius. I've labeled him the king of Babylon. Here is this man that labored. Stay with me now and don't leave me. I'm getting ready to try to give you something. He labored to keep Daniel out of that den of lions. But he realized too late that he had been deceived and used by those who were subordinate to him. And the Bible said that he labored until the going down of the sun to deliver him, that is, deliver Daniel. May I say something to you this morning? You better be careful how people use you. Brother, I'm finding out in my Christian life that men and women will use you for what they can get out of you. And when they've gotten what they want out of you, they'll throw you to the dog. They'll throw you to the lions, buddy. Amen to God. May I say something to you young people in here? The opposite sex sometimes will do their best to try to use you and get out of you what they can. But I'm telling you, after they've got what they want, they'll cast you into the den of lions and leave you there to be devoured. You better be careful, friend. Amen. Who you're listening to. That's right. You better make some wise, learn to make some wise decisions in your life. Here was a man that acted before he thought. He put his mouth in motion before he ever put his brain in gear. Do us well to learn to think a little bit before we start talking with our mouth. A whole lot of folks leap before they ever look. Why, that's just a small leap. It's just one small step for man and one giant step for mankind. That's what Eve thought and took all of mankind into ruin. Are you listening this morning? Better weigh some things in the balance before you make decisions, friend. They may bring more on you. Hey, they may bring something on you and you can't get out. That old king regretted what he had done and wanted out of that situation, but he couldn't. He didn't have the power to do it. He had already signed the writing. I want to look at three things about him very quickly. His faith, his fasting, and his fury. The Bible said in verse number 16, then the king commanded and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. That sounds good, doesn't it, church? Come on, somebody help me. That sounds like real faith, don't it? Daniel, I'm going to throw you to the lions, but don't worry about it. I'm not going down in there with you. That God, your servant, he'll deliver you. I've got faith in it, Daniel. Your God will deliver you. I wrote this down. There's faith, and then there's faith. What kind of faith you got this morning? Huh? He never called God his God. It was Daniel's God. But he said, I know that the God you serve, Daniel, he will deliver you. There's one thing, it's one thing to believe God will deliver others, but it's another thing to experience it ourselves. Oh, Brother Hall, I believe them stories you've told about Bible college and about praying and how God delivered you financially and how God blessed you and helped you through school on a meager nothing. And I believe the stories you told. But let me ask you something. Have you ever experienced that in your own life from Almighty God? It's one thing to stand up and run our mouth about what God will do for somebody else. But it's another thing to believe God for what He'll do for us. It was by the faith of Moses that God opened the Red Sea. It was by the faith of Noah that his wife, children, and wives got on the ark, my friend. You better believe I'm telling you right. Yes, sir. It's one thing. It's one thing to believe God will do something for somebody else and brag about it. But it's another thing to believe God will do something for me. What's God done for you lately? Has God delivered you lately from the mouth of the lion? Woo! Hallelujah to God. That old financial lion is about on somebody's heels in here today. That old lion of a cold, complacent heart is abiding on somebody's heels. That old line of a bitter spirit is abiding on somebody's heels. That old line of envy and jealousy is abiding on somebody's heels. And, oh, Lord, I know You've delivered, Brother Hall. You're that kind of a God. But has He ever delivered you? Has He? You ever seen God work in your life? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain. By faith, Enoch walked with God, and he was not. By faith, Noah built an ark to the saving of his household. By faith, Abraham departed from Ur of the Chaldees, looking for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down flat. By faith, I'm getting to something. By faith, the mouth of the lions stopped.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. Come on in. in the house, children? Has He ever delivered you? Ever tear down any Jericho walls for you? Ever parted the Red Sea for you? Ever parted the Jordan for you? Your faith ever overcome for you? His faith. Amen to God. And then his fasting. The king went to his palace and he passed the night all night long in fasting. He had, hey, now look here. Somebody said, well, he was doing that all for Daniel. Well, that sounds good and it looks good. But I'm going to tell you, he had more to lose than Daniel. His honor was at stake. He had let two presidents and 120 princes hoodwink a man that was a ruler of the people. His honor was at stake. His wisdom was at stake. And son, he wanted Daniel out of that den for more reasons than one. And that was that he might get even with that crowd that put him in there. Are you listening to me? Better be careful sometimes why people want to see you helped and blessed. They may be throwing, heaping coals of fire up on your head. But he fasted all night long. I have to say, even a heathen king had more grace than what a lot of Baptists have got.
Amen.
He knew that through fasting might bring the power and the blessing of God. But I want to move on to this. I'm trying to hurry. I want to get out of here by 12:30 if I can. His faith, his fasting, but his fury. Notice what it says in verse number 24. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came to the bottom of the pit. There, hey, Daniel being delivered, he now commands Daniel's accusers, his wives and his children, to be cast into that den of lions. And notice where I thought about preaching on this someday. Don't anybody leave me now. I thought about preaching at the bottom of the pit.
Amen.
Notice the Bible said they had the mastery.
Amen.
The lions had the mastery over them whenever they got to the bottom of the den.
Amen.
Now I'm here to tell you, I believe this. I didn't get this out of a book, but I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe that is a picture, my friend, of the roaring lion, Satan himself, on those that deny God. There's coming a day, friend, that He will have the mastery over them when they're cast into the bottom of the pit. But I want to say I'm glad. Thank God that I don't have to worry about the bottom of the pit. Why, Brother Hall? Because He lifted me out of that horrible pit. Out of the miry clay. Thanks be unto God. I never have to worry about that old slew foot, the devil, at the bottom of the pit. For I've been delivered out of the pit and got my feet setting on a solid rock this morning. Amen to God. That's right. Oh, I tell you, if you think the devil is having a heyday with people now, you've seen nothing, friend, until their soul is cast into a lake of fire. And their poor, benighted souls hit the bottom of the den. Huh? That's when the mastery will take place. Oh, somebody said, preacher, he won't have any power and any authority down there. I don't know about that either. I'm going to tell you why. What is that fellow's name? Apollyon, who is the king of the bottomless pit. I think maybe these lions are a type of that king at the bottomless pit. And there's coming a day, my friend, when a lost man or a lost woman, when their mercy will run out and their grace will run out. And I'm going to tell you, when their carcass hits the bottom of the den, be too late for shout, to be too late to pray.
Amen.
Too late to pray, too late to cry unto God. I notice secondly, not only the king of Babylon, but I notice the second king that I want to refer to, and I'm trying to hurry. I'm trying to be as fast as I can. I know some of you are afraid your roast is going to burn. And if I felt real good this morning, I'd burn you before you left. Amen to God, that's right. Not only the king of Babylon, but I see another king in this, the tale of three kings. I see the king of beasts.
Amen.
That lion is, lions are known as the king of beasts.
Amen.
And Satan is likened unto a lion in 1 Peter 5:8. The Bible said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking, get this now, whom he may devour. And I'm telling you, he devoured those men, those women, and those children at the bottom of the pit. I want to come right back to this. Praise God, I'm not ready to leave it yet. Some of you is about ready to hit bottom, buddy. It may not be the bottom of the den, but I got a feeling some of you in here is about ready to hit bottom spiritually. And I'm going to tell you, there's a line. There's several lines waiting down there on you, friend. And they'll not only devour your stinking hide, but they'll get your wives and your children along with you. Some of you men in here, bless your heart, I love you, but I'll tell you that some of you better wake up and quit yourselves like men and quit playing silly games and realize that there's more at stake in this thing of Christianity than your sorry ego that you have this morning and your proud, arrogant heart this morning and your rebellious spirit this morning, and realize that you got a family at stake, friend. Now I'm telling you, you're just about ready to hit the bottom, and when you hit, there'll be a lion waiting there to gnaw on your hide. Amen. And it won't be a pretty picture when he starts gnawing on your wife and on your children you brought into the world along with him. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I don't believe that. You don't? Why don't you go back through the Bible and find some of them that hit rock bottom. Find out what happened to them. Find out where. Look at some of them today that hit rock bottom in our society today. Amen. At where they are, and find out how pleasant it is. Amen. Oh, it's not a very pretty picture. Amen. No, sir. To bottom out, get as low as you can get. I'm going to tell you, you think it's bad now. You wait till the devil starts gnawing on your hide, friend. Amen. You wait till you see your family going to pieces. Wait till you see your children going the way of the world. Where do you see your children smoking dope and drinking liquor and sucking on cigarettes? Amen. Committing illicit sex and running with a hole? Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, that won't happen to me. I'm here to tell you, it's not the man of God's responsibility to keep your family out of hell. It is your responsibility.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't we having fun?
Amen.
I thought about a preaching on that this morning, the bottom of the pit. Bottom of the pit. They didn't want nothing to do with God. They didn't want nothing to do with Daniel. They wanted what they could get for themselves. Laid back and running easy. Let me ask you something. What are you going to do? And I believe I'm free to talk about this now. What's some of you in here going to do, friend, when some disease strikes some member of your family like it has Miss Sandy? Come on in the house, boys and girls. How you going to handle it if it's a child? How you going to handle it if it's a mommy? Some of you rebellious as hell boys in here, how you going to handle it when the devil begins to chew on your mama's heart and soul? How you going to handle it then? Oh, I'm tough. I'm strong. The only thing strong about you is the smell on your feet. None of your armpits. Macho! You think you're macho. Are you listening to me? What are you going to do about it, children, when it's grandpa and grandma the devils are gnawing around on? How are you going to handle it then? How are you going to handle it when it's a brother or sister? How are you going to handle it? How would you handle it if it is a loved one in your family that you have shunned and slighted and there's been a wrong, bad relationship between them, and then they begin to get gnawed on by the devil? What are you going to do then? Huh? I'm going to tell you, you'll do one of two things. You'll either get right or harden your heart and die and go to hell. One of the two, buddy. I won't charge you anything for that. I'm preaching this morning. I'm not like Elliot Smith. I am preaching and telling the truth at the same time. Amen. That old lion walks about seeking whom he may devour, and thought he had Daniel in his grips. Thought he had Daniel. And I've thought about this, and I don't have the answer to it, and don't ask me to give you the answer. But all it says, all Daniel says, is that God has sent an angel and shut up the lion's mouth. I wonder what happened to the lion's paw. Doesn't say a thing about that. But he said he shut up the lion's mouth.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. Get this now. Brother Jerry, can you help me? Well, try to, son. Come on, help me. You're backslidden, man. You're colder than crouch. You need to get in church a little more often. But I looked up that word shut. You know what it literally means? It means to surrender. And there's all those lions waiting to devour that great man of God, but buddy, before he ever reached the destination of the bottom of that pit where those lions were, God sent his angels and shut up the lion's mouth. When the lion of the tribe of Judah showed up, them other little lions just backed up in a corner. Now, I'm not going to put on a fiasco like somebody done a few weeks ago in our meet. But they raised the white flag of surrender. When the King of Kings and the King of Glory showed up, the devil had to say, I surrender to his authority. Woo! Thank God, I'm telling you, there is a roaring lion that wants about seeking whom he may devour. But there is a lion of the tribe of Judah that has power and authority over him. Devil's powerful, but our God's all powerful. Devil's mighty, but our God's almighty. The devil is in the world, but hey, greater is he that is in the world and you than he that is in the world today. Woo! Hallelujah. As that woman over there told my wife's grandmother one time, we went over in the eastern hills to get some business done for her. We was sitting in this woman's house, and Brenda's granny began to tell this lady about some things that were going on and just, you know, chit-chat. And one of their common expressions is, that lady said, now, her grandma's name's Tisha Combs. That lady said, now, Tisha, hush your mouth. And that's exactly what the lion of the tribe of Judah said. Boys, now hush your mouth.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Thanks be unto God, the King of Beasts had to lay down at the feet of the Lion of the tribe of Judah and purr like a pussycat on that day.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that all he can do is march around the perimeter and roar? I'm glad there's a hedge about us, buddy. Praise God. There's that king of Babylon. There's that king of beasts who, hey, and the lion's mouths were stopped. There's only three times in the Bible it talks about that. Old Samson in Judges 14:5, when that young lion roared against him, he rent it like a kid. In David in 1 Samuel 16:34, he told Saul, he said, I grabbed that stinking lion by the beard and slew the lion and the bear both. And here in Daniel, that lion roared. But I'm glad, thank God, hey, by faith, they stopped the mouth of the lions. Hallelujah to God. He is our adversary. He is our accuser. Those men that accused Daniel aligned themselves with the devil himself. They showed their character, who they really was. Now I want to close with this, and I'm just about done now. There's not only the king of Babylon and the king of beasts, but I wrote it down this way. There is the king of the battle.
Amen.
I might say he's the king of glory.
Amen.
Can I read you? I'm going to. Can I read you a little psalm here, if I may? Where's my glasses at, Blake? Help me with them, son. I want to read you this little old psalm. Listen carefully. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Amen.
The world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and I'm in chapter 24 if you wonder, and established it upon the flood. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Listen carefully now. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Let me ask you something this morning. Have you opened up your door this morning and let the King of glory in? If you're worried about the King of Babylon, this world, And if you're worried about the king of peace, the devil of this world, open up the doors.
Amen.
And let the King of glory come in.
Amen.
Then old David said, who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle.
Amen.
Like Brother Steve said in Sunday school, stand still and see the salvation
Amen.
Of the Lord. From this day on, He'll fight your battles for you.
Amen.
He will fight your battles and stop the mouth, stop the devil's mouth. He's an egg sucker. He's worse than an egg sucker. He's an egg sucker. Amen. He's egg-sucking, cloven-footed, deceitful, lying devil.
Amen.
He's an egg-sucking, cloven-footed, deceiving, lying, hell-bound devil.
Amen.
And our God someday will literally shut his stinking mouth. He will stop the mouth of the great lion and all those little baby lions. He'll knock their stinking teeth out like David said. Now you know what I'm talking about if you've read your Bible. David said, break out the great teeth of the young lions, Lord. Put that upside their head, buddy. Amen. I'm going to have to tell this. We got down there at the border and Brother Steve got a little uptight. He said, where is Kingpin when you need him? He's that big brother. I'm going to tell you, we had a big brother.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Hallelujah Amen. To God. Amen. And that King of glory, that King of battle, let me read on the rest of this. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and a King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory.
Amen.
And David said, Selah. Stop and think about that. Five times he is mentioned as the King of glory. Five times.
Amen.
In those verses. That's grace. Thank you, Brother Jones, for preaching for me. I appreciate that. I needed it. I don't mind. I'm glad somebody's saying something. Five times, the King of glory, strong, mighty.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you what, old Daniel, when he threw him in that pit that night, he just opened up his doors. Let the King of glory come in, mighty
Amen.
In battle. Daniel laid down and went to sleep that night. He shut the lion's mouth. They just threw up the white flag. We have no power. We have no authority. We have no means of doing damage to Daniel. Wasn't that a wonderful story? Tale of three kings. There was a king of Babylon. There was a world. There was a king of beasts. There was also the king of battle. The Lord Jesus that shut the mouths of the lions and delivered Daniel. Now I'm going to tell you something else, friend. He'll shut the lion's mouth in your life as well.
Amen.
He'll shut them. And He will deliver you. Let's stand together.